This morning's message is, I titled it, Enjoy Your Tears in Front of a Group of People. Enjoy the Yellow Light. Yesterday morning, I get a call from Steve saying, hey, I'm sick, can you cover? And I was like, sure, I'll figure it out. Yeah, why not? He said, why don't you kind of update some people on where you guys are at with your adoption? And I didn't feel like that's what the sole purpose of today's message was supposed to be about, of talking about us. Instead, we're all waiting in a yellow light. We all have things that in our lives we're sitting back saying, where are you at, God? What do you want me to get out of this? And that's really where this message comes from. The yellow light analogy comes from my creative wife's blogging and the analogy that we feel like we're sitting perhaps in a yellow light. And yellow lights are tough, but there's a lot of good that comes out of yellow lights. And that's what today's message is about. To kind of give you an update on where we're at regarding our family. For those of you who aren't sure, Jess and I are in the process of adopting a little girl from Bulgaria. She's 3 years old. Her name is Yosie, and she looks nothing. This was not this hard this morning. It's your fault. She looks nothing like us, but she's very much a Thatchik. We are awaiting a travel date for her. We were told we would hear something Friday, here to Sunday, and here we are. So we are waiting anxiously. The bags are literally packed, sitting in our kitchen, awaiting us to grab them and run to Dulles or Pittsburgh or wherever we can get a cheap flight. So we would appreciate your prayers. I want to also say a special thanks to Relevant Magazine. Relevant Magazine is a publication that I ran into online, and they take current events and kind of process them for you, so to speak, in a magazine. And reading through Relevant, they really helped me organize this ping pong battle that's going on inside of my brain and my heart over the last 5 or 6 months. And a couple articles really stuck with me, and that's where a lot of my material comes from. Who those authors are, I don't remember now, but if you're listening online, Relevant Magazine, props to you. We all know the feeling of when your battery dies. Maybe your battery dies in your phone. Maybe your battery dies in your vehicle. Maybe your battery's like the truck battery I have that I have to charge every time I want to use the pickup at home. And you know the feeling of having to sit and wait while that battery charges. And even though it really takes just a matter of minutes, it really feels like it takes an eternity for that goofy thing to fully charge. You start to feel tense and you start to feel anxious and you're wondering how long it's going to take. See, most people don't like to wait. We often get very frustrated in that waiting time, whether we're waiting for our McDouble, whether we are behind a guy in a Buick on Interstate 80 who just won't move over to let you through. We just don't like to wait. We like to get things done in our own time. And we like to rush from one place to another. You know, maybe Motorola has something with that turbocharge, 15 minutes, 2 days battery, because they kind of have an understanding of how we're wired. You know, this mindset isn't just about fast food, and it's not just a mindset about driving down the road or a phone battery for that matter. It carries over into our spiritual lives too, and way too often. But while most of us are in a hurry, God isn't. It takes His time. You know, I see Him personified. My parents a few years back managed to get a camp up in Cameron County, right on the First Fork of Cinnamahoney. I mean, that's an outdoors person's, that's great. Good stuff. And I see God's grace and his patience personified in this old timer that maybe I stalk him, I don't know. I see him there in the spring and summer fly fishing. And if you've ever watched a master of that craft work, it's a thing of real beauty. It's slow, it's patient, it's methodical, but it's very effective. And that old timer, he has that classic, I think they call it a Protestant style because they claim you can put a Bible in his armpit because he keeps his arm down. I don't know where that came from, but that's what they say. But it's a real slow 4-count rhythm. And it's a thing of beauty because it's so under control. It's so unforced, for lack of better words. And I see God's mercy and patience kind of personified in that gentleman. Because God isn't in a big hurry about things. He goes at his own pace because he's God. He's allowed to. But he always has a plan. And he always has a purpose. He's never surprised, and he's never caught off guard. It's not like an event happens and all of a sudden we're like, ah! No, he's not like that. He's not like you and I. See, the problem with waiting is that we don't have all those details that are needed to see the big picture. But he does. From our perspective, we think we have it all figured out. Our time frame is perfect. This is how it should be done. And when it doesn't align to his, we get frustrated. We get mad. We feel like we've been left alone. Like maybe he's mad at us or he doesn't care. He's apathetic. But he has all the details. He sees the big picture. In the Gospels, we see it happening often. We see it with Mary and Martha waiting for Jesus because their brother's dead. And when Jesus shows up on the scene, he's accused for taking too long to get there. But he wasn't. Waiting is a part of life. And it's one of God's tools for developing us. Let me repeat that. Waiting is a tool used by God to develop his people. He made the yellow light. He uses that yellow light to transform us into the people he wants us to become. And he has good reasons for making us wait. The Bible's full of stories of people. You know, you think about them. You have Noah and Abraham, Moses, Daniel, David, Paul. I mean, there's countless others that had that yellow light season of their life. My encouragement today is for us to enjoy the yellow light. Enjoy it. It's hard. Yeah, it's extremely hard. Enjoy it anyways. If you're looking for a scripture reference here, I'm going to be all over the place. I'll just be honest with you. So you might as well give your thumbs a break and trust me on this, okay? There's no false teaching going on here. You don't have to be concerned. It's very biblical. But just give your thumbs a break today and open your hearts to what God has to say to you. Enjoy the yellow light. When you enjoy the yellow light, things happen. It makes you ask the hard questions. It asks you to ask yourself, why am I doing this? See, people who don't have good motives, they won't wait long. They'll bolt. You know, it's like guys like me who decide one day I'm going to wake up and I'm going to get in shape. And I run a little bit. I breathe a whole lot. And I quickly resort to a quieter lifestyle that requires less calorie burning, right? Wiffle ball with my kids in the yard. That's what I'm about. See, we're too interested in those short-term gains or those short-term successes. Waiting's tough on our minds and spirit, too. We begin to question what we believe. What's our motives? We wonder if we can do it. Can we see it through all the way through? And yes, at times, every one of us has asked, where are you, God? Where are you at? I thought you were big enough for this. I thought you were sovereign. It's hard to desire to pray like David did in that 139th Psalm. Search me. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts, Lord. We don't like to really think about why we do what we do. But it's absolutely imperative. I think most of us have really good intentions, though. But a lot of what we want to accomplish is more or less an attempt to make us look good to others or to appease our egos. It's hard to say, but it's true. A year ago, Jess and I got to see Yosi for the first time on a computer screen. And 5 months ago, we got to travel over and meet her, which was just an outstanding trip, amazing trip. And when we came back, words of encouragement we heard from family, friends, strangers, everybody. Oh, it'll be great when she comes home. It'll be so great when she gets home. I mean, you guys will be able to help her all along. It'll be great. And as sick mind as it's for me to say this, I bought into it. Yeah, when she gets home, I can fix her. When I get home, I can help her. I got the education. I got the training. We got the experience. Yeah, we could do this. Recently, though, I'm praying that prayer that David said in 139. I'm asking myself, and I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to search me. And what he's searching and finding is a lot of scarred self-righteousness on this core. But he's also revealed to me a heart that's open to his leading. When you ask to be searched, it's going to reveal a lot of ugly, but because you have the Holy Spirit in you, there's a lot of good there too. Allow him to work in you. Enjoy the yellow light. Why, you may ask? Because it develops patience. Man, that's a tough word. You know, seems like a very serious talk, so let's kind of lighten the mood a little bit. I went to college, and a couple times. and I've had a whole range of roommates in those experiences. And I have a roommate that was just like this guy. So if you appreciate stupid humor like I do from time to time, let me enlighten you and see how your patience would wear with a gentleman like this. He's trying to read a book right there. Notice he has a financial investment shirt. Guess what he's doing after he graduates? Oh my. Now you might be saying, how does that tie in? Have you ever felt like, well, for the record, I was the guy studying. Sometimes. When you're asked to do hard things and your patience is tested, personified by the annoying roommate, how do you react to it? Do you endure it? Do you try and learn from it? Or do you fight it? Patience in waiting for small things will lead us to having patience in bigger things. If we can't wait for God to do a small thing, then we certainly can't wait for Him to do a large thing. Blessed is the man who remembers that God never asks us to wait without Him. I made that up. Our problem is our perspective. Our perspective is usually off. It's usually wrong. We tend to think that the bigger things in life are finances, right? Money, possessions, houses, things, stuff. You pick your word. Well, God thinks that influencing people and changing hearts for Him, that's the big thing. That's what matters. Remember what the author of Hebrews said in chapter 10, that we need to persevere so that when we have done the will of God, we will receive what He has promised. Enjoy the yellow light. because it develops our anticipation. This time of year is a beautiful time of year in our state, especially for rural folk like us, because we have Easter and we have that anticipation of Easter, but we also have another state holiday taking place in a few weeks, and that would be the opening day of trout season. I see it as a holiday. And if you've ever rolled out of bed on a chilly April morning to go catch 7-inch fish, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, then I don't know what. If you've ever rolled out of bed on a chilly April morning to take a child out fishing, you hear the humor now. Everybody knows what I'm getting at. There's a great anticipation, right? Because the days leading up to that, you're just feeding those kids. Yeah, this is what it's going to be like, and we're going to catch a 20-incher. It's going to be great. And you're just feeding them with all this excitement. And then you roll out of bed. You put on way too many layers of clothing that will eventually get shed as soon as the sun comes up because it's always hot. Everybody drinks too much coffee, including the 5-year-old kid. It's where I had my first cup of coffee. There's the walk to the stream, and that's the part I always loved. Whether I was fishing alone or with a friend, and now with my kids, it's the walk in. It's the best part. You have that spring in your step, right? I mean, when you have kids with you, it's like herding cats. No, this way, not there, this way. And they're intrigued by the mud hole, right? You yank them out of that mud hole, and it's like a magnet. They go and find another one. And then because they've had too much coffee, you got to stop and water the tree. And then by the time you actually get to the stream, the anticipation hasn't been lost, though, right? If you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The excitement is not gone. And as you're standing there with a little person beside you, they have this like look on their face of just sheer anticipation, like something is going to happen. My dad said it would. Don't make the mistake that when you wait, you're like the slobby guy sitting on the bank asleep with a twig holding up his rod with a piece of corn on a hook. No, when you wait like that child, with the faith of a child, expecting good's going to happen. Enjoy the yellow light, because it transforms you. It will transform you. Waiting has a way of rubbing off the rough edges. The last couple of years, I've been working with some barnwood from our building that was torn down on our property. And taking 30 or 60 grit sandpaper just knocks off about 200 years worth of wear off a piece of wood. But that's what waiting does to our lives too. Many of us know the story of Moses delivering the Israelites from the Egyptians. It's a story of God doing great big miracles. You know, there's the burning bush and there's Aaron's staff, right? There's the plagues that should have systematically devalued, debunked that pagan culture. There's the Red Sea, the manna and quail, waters coming out of rocks. I mean, just all kinds of really wild stuff. But there are many sermons that talk about Moses waiting in the desert for 40 years too. So why was he in the desert? Well, we know because when he was young, he was brash and impatient. He was reckless. I mean, he killed a man and he hid the body, for goodness sakes. And when his sin became public, he ran. But God used him with a second chance. He transformed him in the desert to become the person he wants him to become. See, in the end, the Israelites were delivered from slavery, and Moses became a great leader that we talk about. Your dreams and my dreams may be God-given. They may be healthy for you, 100% biblical, but they are not all-encompassing. when Yosi's family set out to adopt her, we didn't realize that what God was doing was working out his own adoption by sanctifying us. See, God breaks us to bless us. God breaks you to bless you. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. A broken spirit can be rebuilt into something useful, fruitful, impactful. God uses our waiting to transform us into the people that He wants us to become. So enjoy the yellow light. Why? Because it has a way of building our dependency upon God. Through times of trial, God uses our suffering to crush our own self-dependency. He does that to awaken us to the realities of the joys that can be found only in Him. Family is good. Children are really good. Marriage is great. Staying clean is healthy. Promotions are good. God is better. The reason we're able to read about great men and women of the Bible is because they all have one thing in common. There were people who learned their success in life was directly proportionate to their intimacy and their dependency on God. For them, a relationship with God wasn't about a get-rich-quick kind of scheme or a get-out-of-jail card. For many of them, it was a matter of life and death. The good news is that God never asks us to wait without Him. He's there. Waiting during those difficult times develop our relationship with God. Some of my most cherished relationships are with people that stood in the trenches with me through the toughest of battles. The reason we get to read these stories of great men and women is simply because they waited with God and they held on to the promises that He communicates to us. We hear the cliche that God's interested in the journey just as much as He is the destination. There's a lot of truth to that. If it wasn't true, then we would just have all the good things in the Bible. But the Holy Spirit put all those ugly and bad things in there too to show us the waiting part of it. Trust me, I don't always understand, and I never will understand, why we have to wait. But I feel like when we're enjoying the yellow light, it reveals to us our motives. It develops your patience. It builds anticipation for the final product. It transforms your character. And God wants us to rely on Him and press into Him wholeheartedly. One thing we can remain confident of is that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We will wait for Him, just like that little boy on a string, with crazy eyes, with white knuckles, expecting good. We will be strong and we will take heart, and we will wait for the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your Word. Let me back up. Lord, we thank You for You. We thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. We thank You for the way that You care for each and every one of us. And Lord, when we feel like we are alone in this waiting game, remind us of the truth that we are not. That You are there. You are there when it's hard. You are there when we feel victory. Holy Spirit, guide us. Help us to recognize what are our motives, Lord? What do you want me to learn through this time? Build the anticipation of our hearts, Lord, that we would expect good things from you. Transform us, Lord, into the people you want us to become. That our identity would not be something wrapped up in a temporary fix. But transform us, Lord, into men and women of holiness. Father, we ask that you would continue to work in us. And may we press into you, Lord, and finish the race. And that at the end of the day, Lord, we would receive no glory, Lord, but you would receive it all. Because you are powerful, you are mighty, and you are good. Lord Jesus, we just love you and we thank you. And it's in your most holy name we pray. Amen.